Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As of tomorrow, consumer products aimed at kids 12 and under must meet stricter safety requirements in order to reduce children's exposure to lead. Now, stricter regulation in this area probably seems like a no-brainer, especially for parents who are still rattled by the lead-laced toy recalls, where 11 million toys in 2007 and another 5 million in 2008 had to be pulled from the shelves. But not everyone is on board with these new regulations. Manufacturers and retailers have staged protests ahead of tomorrow's deadline, arguing that the rules will force them to pull their inventory and will effectively put them out of business. Some are dubbing tomorrow National Bankruptcy Day. So to understand both sides of this issue, we are joined by Steve Levy, the Director of Operations at Star Ride Kids, that's a children's clothing manufacturer, and a spokesman for the Coalition for Safe and Affordable Children's Wear, that's Steve Levy as well, and Aaron Colangelo as well, a lawyer from the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Environmental Group, NRDC. Steve, Aaron, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
And Aaron, let's get the pro side out here first. This is apparently what's been enacted here, so tell us why, because NRDC has praised the Consumer Product Safety Commission Improvement Act for mandating these lead limits, but clothing is not usually the first thing we think of. Why does this apply to clothing, and why is this good?
Well, NRDC's role has been limited for the most part to a different part of the law, which regulates phthalates in children's toys and other child care products. And phthalates are chemicals that soften plastics that are known reproductive toxins and hormone disruptors when children are exposed during certain vulnerable developmental periods. So we've worked most on that part of the law, which is independent of the lead issue. But on the broader issue, what the law does is ensure that children won't be exposed to toxic chemicals, either lead or phthalates, in toys and other child care products. And as you mentioned during the introduction, there have been a lot of reports in the news with toy recalls and serious health effects in children from exposure to lead and other chemicals. And so what the law that was passed last August does is start to take steps to ensure that these toxic chemicals are taken out of children's products.
Okay. And to be clear, because perhaps I misspoke in the introduction, lead is not the issue in clothing. It's this other chemical?
No, I'm sorry. There is an issue that I think your other guest is going to talk about lead in clothing.
Mm-hmm.
There is not an issue about phthalates in clothing, these plastic
right.
softeners.
Okay.
Very rarely, you know, they may be in vinyl bibs or something like that, but not in clothing.
Okay. So, Steve Levy, your coalition, which represents hundreds of manufacturers and garment workers and retailers,
right.
organized a protest last week in front of Macy's here in Manhattan. If anybody was shopping anymore, people would have seen it. But tell us what happens at children's stores tomorrow and why you're calling this National Bankruptcy Day.
Okay, I just want to go back a second and say that we're also pro this law. Just Aaron's group, we have always been very concerned about child safety when it comes to children's apparel. And there have been various regulations, whether it's drawstrings or flammability over the years, and we've always adhered to them and are very much in favor of making clothing which is safe.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the clothing that we've been making since at least January 1st of this year does meet the lead standards of the law. So anything that's been manufactured after January 1st has met the new standards. The problem that we have with the law, and I think, you know, Aaron had touched on it, there are other focuses that there's a concern, whether it's toys or child care items, is that it was written so broadly as just defining children's products that clothing that we have on the shelves that could be there 2 or 3 years, really, is now being subjected to these new limits. And very unusual for a federal regulation in the sense that it's saying there's a sell-by date. As of tomorrow, anything manufactured, no matter when it was made, if it doesn't meet these standards for children's clothing particularly, it can no longer be sold. So we just feel that as an industry, we're always in favor of child safety, and our product does meet the new requirements. But it's impossible to go back to product that has been out there, already introduced into commerce, which poses no danger whatsoever when it comes to clothing, particularly, and make it compliant.
So it's the retroactivity and the $500 million price tag of that retroactivity that you're estimating that really bothers you. But if those products contain unsafe levels of lead enough that they wouldn't be allowed going forward, shouldn't health and safety concerns trump everything else?
You know, you bring a very good point, and I just want to give you an example to show what the problem with the law is. Let's just say, where would the lead be in the clothing? It's not in the fabric itself. There's no lead introduced into the fabric production, the dyeing, printing, etc. You may have a button, you know, that goes on a garment that has the measurement for tomorrow is 600 parts per million in lead, the limit. Mm-hmm. And it may have 650 parts per million, let's just say, because it was made in March of last year and the requirement wasn't there. The CPSC is basically saying, I can wear that garment, I can go into the store today, purchase that garment, my child can wear that until he wears it out, there's no safety danger whatsoever, but tomorrow morning, I cannot go into the store and say, oh, I like that, can I buy another one? Oh, no, banned hazardous substance, absolutely do not, you can't wear that.
So Aaron from NRDC, do you have some sympathy with the manufacturers and the retailers here?
Well, I think that the thing about the law that makes sense is that it built in a lag time. Congress passed the law in August, and the effective date wasn't until tomorrow, February 10th. So Congress built in 180 days before any of these restrictions on phthalates or lead in children's products went into effect. And what that did is it allowed the regulated industry 6 months to move these items through the stream of commerce and then said, after that, we're going to have certainty. Because there are no labeling requirements for the chemicals we're most concerned about here, phthalates and lead, there are no labeling requirements. So if you go into a store to buy a rubber ducky, for example, you'll have no way of knowing whether it has phthalates in it or not. And so what the law did by building in this phase-in period and then having an effective date of February 10th is it said, beginning Tuesday, February 10th, we'll have certainty. People will know that if they buy a children's product in stores, it won't have lead over this limit and it won't have certain phthalates over the limit that Congress set for those two. And that really achieves the two goals that advances the two goals that Congress was most focused on. First was protecting consumers from exposure to chemicals in children's products. And second was assuring consumer certainty and enabling consumer confidence that people would know when they bought something beginning on this date that it met the newest standards for safety.
Now, because of the kind of criticism that we've heard from Steve, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission approved a one-year stay on the enforcement of third-party testing. But retailers, as I understand it, cannot sell products that exceed the new limits. So how are the retailers supposed to know if their products even exceed the limits without the testing?
Well, Congress actually did two things. A week ago Friday, they granted a stay of the third-party testing and certification requirements for many of these standards. There are a handful of standards that had already gone into effect.
And what does that mean, third-party testing?
Well, what that means is that there was another part of the law. The part that we've been discussing set a limit for lead and phthalates in children's products. There was a separate section that said manufacturers, not retailers, but manufacturers, beginning tomorrow, February 10th, would need to have an independent lab test their products to confirm that they didn't contain lead or phthalates above the limit, and then the manufacturer would have to include a certificate with their shipments of those products to retailers saying, we've tested, and the lab that we used shows that we meet the new safety standards. And many folks had been criticizing that, many folks within the regulated industry were criticizing that part of the law because they said, well, we make products that would never have lead or phthalates in them. It will be unreasonably expensive for us to have to test to prove that. And the commission issued a blanket stay, which gives folks in the industry some breathing room for a year. That's the first thing that they did.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, just this past Friday, the Consumer Product Safety Commission issued an enforcement guidance, a press release about how they intend to enforce the law. And they listed a number of categories of consumer products, including some clothing, and said that these are things that we're not going to be looking at, and we won't be enforcing, whether from the retailer or the manufacturing end, because there's just a presumption that these items, you know, if it's pure wool, cotton, untreated wood, those things won't contain lead, and we won't be looking at those. So I think that gives the regulated industry a bit of a break, too, to the extent that there is some nervousness about what the law will do.
And listeners, if you are confused by the complexities in that answer, that's exactly what the retailers are facing. That's one of the things that Steve is complaining about. As we talk about, if you're just joining us, a law that takes effect tomorrow that's supposed to protect children from lead and other toxic substances in clothing and toys and lots of stuff. We're talking about it with Aaron Colangelo from the environmental group, NRDC, and Steve Levy, who speaks for the children's clothing industry. And it's not just you, Steve, who is confused. Listen to this post that just came in on our website. Mary in New Jersey writes, libraries are also concerned whether this law applies to library books and other items in the children's area of public libraries. Did you know that?
Yeah. Can I just make a statement? I want to go back.
Sure.
If I could. Basically, I think the CPSC has now said if the book has been published before 1985, libraries may need to sequester those books until they can determine whether they have lead or not. But
really?
I wanted to go back to something that Aaron had brought up about the timeline of saying that there was enough time. From the design of a garment until the time it gets down to the retail floor and sells through could be anywhere from 18 to 24 months. And this law was passed in August with a February implementation, which gives us about 7 months. We had product which had already been manufactured at the retail level in warehouses on its way. So it was virtually impossible to go back and apply those standards. And I want to just, again, bring out a very important point. Safety is an issue for us. It always is. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of anyone getting hurt or injured from lead in apparel products over the last 15 years that we've checked. But having said that, under the better safe than sorry position, we are making all of our products as of January 1st in compliance with the new standards. But just as we are very, very concerned about children and their safety, and in this case we're saying that for apparel it's really not an issue, but we are concerned, we have to also be concerned about the thousands of workers and their children who may be in danger of losing their job in this very, very tough economy.
But here's another concern about the workers and their children that comes from Betty Ann on the Upper East Side, who posted and says, what's wrong with us that we're even having a debate about anything remotely toxic coming in contact with our children? I don't know one American citizen, rich or poor, that would condone this. What about the kids and people making these clothes and toys abroad?
Well, let's just talk about it this way. If we have no scientific evidence to back up that the children are getting poisoned from lead or hurt from lead at all, then there really isn't a danger concern. In
fact, is that your position?
Our position is if the CPSC is saying that they're not telling people clean out your closets, throw away all your clothes, they're saying it's perfectly okay to wear the clothes in your closets, you could buy the garments today, no danger whatsoever, right? Then if they're saying that, then tomorrow is really an arbitrary date, isn't it?
So, Aaron, what's the real risk here?
Well, I disagree with that last comment. Congress certainly didn't say, and the CPSC isn't saying, that there's no danger whatsoever. I think that they really did try to strike the balance that Steve is asking for, and this is how they struck it. There's really no debate that lead is a potent neurotoxin and that children are especially vulnerable when they're exposed. And I think that the last comment you got from a listener really brings kind of a useful perspective to this. These are known chemicals that can cause permanent developmental harm to children. And when Congress passed this law, it really was focusing on consumer protection and children's health in light of really a string of tragic incidents that happened in the past few years. And one other point that I want to make is that a lot of the problems here stem from a lack of leadership at the CPSC, not from the law itself.
And that's the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
That's the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the agency that's charged with enforcing and implementing this law. And when it was being debated in Congress, the chair, according to one of the legislators, the chair of the Consumer Product Safety Commission testified that she didn't need more money for the commission and didn't need more staff, that they could handle this daunting task of ensuring consumer safety without any increase in budget or without any extra
staff. Well, they didn't maybe believe in it so much at that time. Maybe that's going to change in the new government. But we're almost out of time, but I want to throw another post at you, Aaron, from a listener, Jenny in Brooklyn, who writes, I am a seller on the handmade site Etsy.com. And this is a huge issue there. If this law passes, it will destroy most handmade children's goods by craftspeople. There isn't a way for small businesses to accommodate it, and definitely no way for people who just make clothes or toys in their free time. I mean, a handmade felted toy is dangerous, she writes.
Well, and that's the issue that the CPS, that's really an enforcement issue and not a problem with the law itself. And that's the issue that the CPSC attempted to address a week ago by saying we're going to stay the testing and certification requirement that makes people who make, for example, handmade felted items do testing.
So what happens to them on Etsy tomorrow? Nothing because it's been postponed?
That's right. Now, they still need to meet the standards. In other words, their products can't contain lead or phthalates above the limit. But the criticisms that we've heard from them, from folks like that listener, are that their products are safe to begin with. And, you know, those are folks that we at NRDC want to be supporting. If these are safe, toxic-free, organic, natural products, they really shouldn't be burdened by a law that wasn't targeted at them, and I think that the stay of testing that the CPSC granted last week eliminates that financial burden on those handmade sellers who are making all natural and organic products.
We've got 30 seconds left. Steve Levy, the last word.
Here's the biggest problem. The national retailers are not willing to take a chance on continuing to sell product tomorrow, especially with hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines and jail time penalties if they have a product which is not which doesn't meet the standards. So they are turning to us and saying, if you can't prove what you made even up to 2 and 3 years ago meets the new standards, we're going to send it back to you. There's no relief in sight from that unless Congress acts. We call upon Schumer, Gillibrand, and the rest of Congress to modify this law to make it a made-by date of January 1st rather than a sell-by date of February 10th.
Rather than retroactive to clothing already made. All right, Steve Levy, the Director of Operations of Star Ride Kids, a children's clothing manufacturer, Aaron Colangelo, lawyer from NRDC. Thank you both very much for coming on. If nothing changes in the Senate today, then that law protecting children from toxics takes effect tomorrow as written. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, WNYC's Andrea Bernstein introduces the Shovel Watch project to keep an eye on how that money in the stimulus bill is actually being spent in our area. And what happens to our city of cranes and scaffolding in the recession? We'll talk to Ken Levian, a leading New York construction site manager. Stay with us.